This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
COVID-19 cases may be falling in the U.S., but in South America, it's a different story.
These countries have been hard hit from the beginning of the pandemic, and they've gone through waves, but this latest wave has just been the most difficult.
We'll talk to our bureau chief about why it's now the global hotspot, plus how China's crypto crackdown is moving markets, and supply chain issues may delay your holiday gifts. It's Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the economy is showing sustained progress. His remarks are part of prepared testimony set to be delivered today on Capitol Hill. Powell said that job growth should pick up in coming months and temporary inflation pressures should ease as the economy continues to recover from the pandemic. We'll keep you posted on today's appearance on WSJ.com. We report exclusively that one of the nation's largest producers of chicken, Sanderson Farms, is exploring a sale. It comes as consumer demand for chicken is rising. Pandemic restrictions are lifting, restaurants are reopening, and people are still spending more on groceries as many work from home. According to people familiar with the matter, Sanderson Farms has lined up an investment banking firm to advise on the potential sale. As of Monday, the poultry giant had a market value of around $3.5 billion. A logjam at a port in southern China could threaten the year-end holiday shopping season. Shipping executives say around 50 container ships remain backed up with around 350,000 loaded containers waiting on the docks. Exports like electronics, furniture, home appliances, and car parts all move through the port and could be impacted. The port is a major gateway for Chinese goods heading to Western nations and has struggled to recover from a COVID-19 outbreak that disrupted operations. Voters in New York City will head to the polls today to begin the process of choosing who will be the next mayor. The city will use ranked choice voting for the first time in the mayoral primaries. The new system allows voters to list up to five candidates in a race in preferential order. Two candidates are running in the Republican mayoral primary. The Democratic mayoral primary features 13 candidates. The winner of the general election in the fall will replace the current New York City mayor, term-limited Democrat Bill de Blasio. And Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib has become the first NFL player to come out as gay while still playing in the league. Nassib's announcement on Instagram drew statements of support from his team and the NFL. The price of Bitcoin recovered slightly this morning after losses yesterday. As we talked about last night, Bitcoin, Ether, and shares of the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase all fell Monday. The declines come as Chinese authorities have stepped up a nationwide campaign against virtual currencies in recent weeks. To talk about just how this is evolving, let's talk to markets columnist Mike Bird, who joins me from Hong Kong. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Mike, as we've reported, up to three quarters of the world supply of Bitcoin has been produced in China. Mining requires a lot of energy. That conflicts with the government's climate goals. But it's not just production that's under scrutiny. The story right now also seems to be about trading.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift over from the mining focus on things where you saw a lot of pressure a few weeks ago onto sort of trading and transactions and ownership, where you're now seeing major financial institutions, both state and private financial institutions in China, bodies like Ant Group, being brought in by the People's Bank of China and effectively being told to seriously curb activity in this area to comply with regulations that the Chinese central bank has put in place. This, I think, is going to be a really big deal going forward in terms of just smothering Chinese Bitcoin activity, basically. If the central bank doesn't want people dealing in Bitcoin, then it's going to be really, really difficult for them to find cooperative financial institutions to do that business with.
So where do things go from here? Is there a next step or a next chapter?
Well, I think, honestly, that the Chinese government has made pretty clear that it sees no utility from its perspective in this. They have their own digital yuan now. They've done their sort of state-focused element of cryptocurrency development. If they're really not interested in the sort of private cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, things like that, then it's going to be really difficult to see any activity coming out of China at all. And you should just, you know, if you're an investor in this space, if you're interested in this space, I think you should forget about seeing any meaningful growth from China in the cryptocurrency industry going forward.
Mike Bird this morning. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Just ahead, we'll talk to our South America bureau chief about why the region is now a COVID-19 hotspot after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
As the United States and other nations see progress in the fight against COVID-19, in South America, the pandemic's the worst it's ever been. Home to just 5% of the world's population, South America now accounts for a quarter of the global death toll. The economic damage is also significant and could plague the region well into the future. We want to get an idea of what it's like there, so we're bringing in the Journal's South America Bureau Chief Juan Ferrero. He's joining me from Bogota, Colombia. Juan, good morning.
Good morning.
Juan, can you just first give us a sense of how bad things are right now?
Mark, the region is really hard hit, harder hit than any other continent right now. If you look at the top 10 countries in terms of per capita deaths, about 7 or 8 of them are in South America. And you're seeing just high numbers of deaths in the bigger countries, bigger and smaller countries. But when we're talking about just sheer numbers, 2,000 dead every day in Brazil, 600 dead every day in Colombia, 600 dead every day, a little less in Argentina. The numbers are just staggering. These countries have been hard hit from the beginning of the pandemic, and they've gone through waves. But this latest wave has just been the most difficult.
Is this an issue of vaccination? Is it an issue of misinformation? What is fueling these higher numbers?
I think it's several things. One thing that we've written quite a bit about is this Brazilian variant, which was initially called the P1, now called Gamma. And this variant has just torn through these countries. These variants, per se, are not more lethal than the original coronavirus. But what scientists say and doctors say and health officials in these countries is that it's more infectious. And so since the vaccination drive in these countries is slower than, say, in Europe, then it's not been able to take control and be able to vaccinate high numbers of people means that this virus has been able to spread very quickly, and that has caused big problems. There are other factors too. People are tired of the lockdowns. People are tired of the pandemic. People have to work. The economies in all these countries are, you know, half of them are informal. That means that people need to get out there and work. They're either have their own businesses or they're vendors on the streets. Whatever it is, people need to go out and make money. And the lockdowns, in South America were quite stringent for a long time. Where they still exist, people are ignoring them. And in many places, governments have just given up.
Let's focus on the economy for just a moment. In Brazil, for example, there was a big stimulus and people returned to normal activity despite calls by scientists to remain in lockdown. Their economy is doing quite well. Where do things stand now in Brazil and really beyond?
That's true. Brazil spent a lot of money last year. They're spending money still. They have less to spend. But their latest economic numbers were quite rosy, saying that they're basically back to where they were before the pandemic began. That's not the case in other countries in Latin America. Peru suffered an 11% contraction last year, and that's the highest in the region. And coming back from that is going to be very difficult. Colombia, also suffered like a 7% drop. Argentina was also quite high. These are countries that are heavily in debt right now also. So this is going to be very difficult. And of course, the poorest people in these countries really took a terrible blow. So we're seeing a situation where, hunger has increased. Poverty has dramatically increased across the region. This year and next year are going to be very, very difficult across South America. And that is having, political ramifications, Mark, across several countries.
It sounds like this will have a long-term impact on South America.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just tell you about one thing that's happening across the region that I think is very interesting. This is a trend across various countries, is we are seeing people turn against the establishment. I mean, perhaps the place where it's most dramatic is in Colombia, where, in late April, protests began. They were particularly heavy throughout May and early June. A lot of people were killed. These were national protests. There were road blockades that totally paralyzed commerce. So that also was a big blow to the economy and also to trying to right the ship here in Colombia. So, Mark, I mean, the point is that across South America, it's really unclear how things are going to turn out because the political situation in several of these countries is quite difficult at the moment.
The WSJ's Juan Ferrero, our South America bureau chief. Juan, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, the maker of Marlboro cigarettes is on trial. Tobacco giant Altria is accused of breaking antitrust laws by abandoning production of their e-cigarette business at the request of rival company Juul Labs. But Altria says it ended production for a much simpler reason. The product was lousy. Here's the WSJ's Jennifer Maloney.
They're saying, we didn't pull our products off the market because of a side deal with Juul. We had no such side deal with Juul. We pulled them off the market because they just sucked. So to make its case, Altria has asked its own executives to disclose on the stand in detail their litany of failures. And so there's been this sort of parade of current and former Altria executives who have recounted on the witness stand how the company threw hundreds of millions of dollars at developing a vaping product, yet failed utterly to come up with anything that smokers liked.
According to the executives' testimonies, Altria's e-cigarettes leaked, generated high formaldehyde levels, and lacked the nicotine kicks smokers were looking for. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, keep track of the news and the markets on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.